call me sentimental, but to me, the most joyful moment in sports is the soccer goal. And when that goal happens at the World Cup, well, it's pretty good. I'm Brian Phillips. With the 2022 Men's World Cup approaching, I'm making a podcast called 22 Goals on the Ringer Podcast Network. It's about 22 of the most fire emoji goals in the history of the tournament. We're going to have so much fun.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. With over 122 million parts, from superchargers and brakes to exhaust kits and beyond, eBay Motors levels your baby up to its peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
Peter Rosenberg!
Shout out to that guy, Greg.
The majesty.
Oh, my goodness.
It's professional wrestling.
Stay mage and enjoy yourself.
It's still rooted.
Shout out to that guy, Greg.
I like delicious chicken.
It was Rapop.
It's professional, wrestling.
Ladies and gentlemen, the world's number one sports and recreation podcast is Cheap Heat. And we are back with a big episode to celebrate the Jewish New Year with the famed mascot of the Jewish New Year. That everyone knows, the White Rabbit, which is one of the things that you'll see on the Rosh Hashanah plate, is the eggs delivered by the White Rabbit. I'm Peter Rosenberg, your forever 24/7 champion, joining you from New York City in Philadelphia, where Extreme Rules will be taking place in a couple of weeks. This man will be in attendance. His name is Stat Guy Greg, SGG.
That's right. The Honorary Juice is here.
The Honorary Juice.
Shana Tova to all my Jewish people. Happy.
The honorary. I got to get you a shirt that says the honorary juice.
That's right. That's right. Only if it's blue and white, though.
That's right. That's right. Official. And yeah. Joining us from Los Angeles, 35 at 35, Dipperstein.
Is the Juicos something that we've explored on this podcast?
Only honorary juice. We've never said the Juicos, actually, I believe.
Well, I'm looking at two Juicos right in front of my face.
The Juicos is
Mage.
Because you know why? Because we the Jews and the ones. You know what I mean?
You right. Already know.
That's the catchphrase. The Jews and the chosen ones.
We the chosen ones.
By the way, is there any more heelish gimmick in all of religion than Jews being the chosen ones? We are working a major heel gimmick. I could get into a deeper philosophical discussion about the problems I think that's led to. But happy Rosh Hashanah, Shana Tova, everyone. I won't regale everyone again with tales of how different the Sephardic Rosh Hashanah dinner is. But, I mean, Dip, it's legitimately Natalie's house on Rush. It's like Thanksgiving plus. The amount of food is crazy.
Or were there beige dips for Rosh Hashanah? Beige dips. Uh-huh.
There weren't a lot of dips. I'm sorry. I'm choking on popcorn. This is
on popcorn at this hour?
I respect it. That's definitively a daytime or nighttime snack, popcorn. You can't be eating popcorn in the morning.
But by daytime, like you mean afternoon.
Well, I've been up for 4 hours. So it was like I was starving before we started. And I have a bag of Skinny Pop. I just reached in and was like, let me just eat, 10 popcorn.
I've never been
up. You didn't have a granola bar or anything like that?
I don't have a granola bar. You're offended by popcorn this early?
Yes.
Not really. I mean,
I'm offended.
I wouldn't expect it from you.
What are you, popcorn and coffee? Is that how you wake up every morning? Give me a bag of Skinny Pop and a nice cup of Joe.
It's funny. I actually am drinking coffee right after I had the popcorn. But the thing is, popcorn.
Those kernels are dangerous.
On the K Show, popcorn has led to more funny drops than anything. Because Don used to eat popcorn during commercials. And then 10 minutes later, he'd be talking about something. And it sounds like he's getting choked up. He'd be like, and the thing is, and it sounds like you're about to weep. Because the popcorn it's never gone. It's always around. Right.
Yeah.
So anyway,
it's the lingering food consumption item of the century.
It really is.
Number one. It refuses to let go.
I hope that I'm done with the popcorn. But anyways, happy new year, everyone. Hope it's sweet, healthy, lovely, beautiful, all those things. Let's dip. Is there anything on your mind this week? Just early, before we get into the wrestling. Is there anything?
Not done with the popcorn.
Is there anything besides popcorn that you feel you really need to get to?
Yeah, sure. I got to give another shout out to my guy, Mike S. in Pittsburgh. Who I got a Rosh Hashanah gift. A big Rosh Hashanah gift.
How often does this man send you stuff?
He's a great guy.
He's sending and sending. What did he send now?
What did I ask for?
Outback Jack's underwear. I don't remember.
I think that's what it was.
I don't remember.
What did I say? If anybody has it out there, I'm in the market.
Was it Hillbilly Jim's overalls?
It was a Frankie. I have a Frankie. A beautiful.
We see the Frankie? You don't have
you
it.
You want to see the Frankie?
Oh yeah.
See the Frankie.
It came with a card, an LJN card, and a pretty much mint condition cocoa.
What?
I feel like we need to see. I feel like.
And I'm sure your cocoa. I'm sure your cocoa was beat. So the mint cocoa. Yeah.
Dip's cocoa was repug. He can put that one back on eBay. Recoup something.
Oop. Oh, be careful.
Killed Frankie again.
Cocoa?
SGG too soon.
Frankie.
Wow.
I mean, look at this beautiful, shiny, shiny Frankie.
Dude, what did your cocoa look like? Relative to this one.
My cocoa's repug. I had a repug cocoa.
His cocoa has a completely different color jacket.
Dude.
I know.
Dude, that is a great... I'm not a figure collector, but that is a beautiful cocoa beware.
It's an absolutely stunning cocoa. So shout out to Mike as he's a great guy.
Oh my God. By the way...
Step it up too. You asked for a Frankie. You got the cocoa and the card.
Just real quick recap. How many things has this gentleman sent you so far?
For three? Three or four, I think.
Mr. Fuji's cane, Outback Jack's underwear.
I have a Fuji cane.
You do have a Fuji cane?
Yeah, I got Terry Funk. I got the branding iron.
Branding iron?
You got the branding iron. I got a branding iron.
Is there a Hercules chain?
There's no Hercules chain. I had a Jake the Snake already. I think I have all the accoutrements. I may have a future month at this point.
By the way, if we ever come out with Cheap Heat figures, the each person's accoutrement would be amazing. I mean, SGG's is like it's kind of already writes itself because it's existed since the very beginning.
What is it?
Son, delicious chicken. Son,
chicken? It has to be delicious chicken.
All right.
Now listen,
we need a disclaimer on the back of the action figure, though. I need to be quoted or something so that we don't get completely canceled for making
We'll need to have like write letters in advance to like the NAACP. We'll have to like handle some things.
Yeah,
we can't just put out.
Them, give them copies of the episode. Like, just make sure you listen to these select episodes.
You have to understand the history with the chicken. So SUG would be a plate. It would be a plate of delicious chicken. Mine, at this point, it feels like would be cream cheese. It feels like there'd be a schmear in my
hand. It'd be bear. It'd probably be bear.
Oh, yeah. Mine's coming with bear. That's a great point.
Honestly, we could do both, because then if we do the food items, I mean, it'd still be slightly offensive to the untrained.
Right. I think that's a good idea. I think I have the dog and the cream cheese. I think that would be mine. And then Dipperstein. Let me think for a second. Dipperstein's accoutrement would be actual LJN accoutrement.
Yeah.
It would be miniature LJNs. It would be very meta. No, I think Dips would have to be like, what, a cell phone in a briefcase or something?
Yeah. Or International Delight. The mini LJNs hold International Delight.
Ooh, of course.
It's a very, very good idea. All right, guys, the world of professional wrestling. It's what we discuss on this program. SGG, did anything exciting happen outside the ring over the last week?
There was nothing exciting outside of the ring that wasn't already tied to inside of the ring. You know, we saw a Grand Slam last week. A couple of rappers appeared, and then Swerve. Oh my God.
Big
Swerve
rap of
ended
it.
Up appearing on it was a big rap of it, and then Swerve, I believe, appeared on Sirius XM as part of their Rolling Loud weekend. They did like a collab with AEW.
Oh wow!
I'm gonna be honest. I don't know exactly what he did. I don't know if he just had some songs played during their mix weekend or if he actually went up to the radio station and did something. I didn't see any footage emerge from it, but I did see the flyer. And I thought, you know what? This is the type of this finally now Tony Khan gets it. This is the type of stuff he needs to be doing in these collabs that makes sense.
Also, remember WWE had the Rolling Loud collab last year.
Yeah, they did. They did.
Now, they didn't have a match out there though this year.
No, they didn't do anything actually at Rolling Loud, but it was branded on CSXM as like part of their Rolling Loud mix weekend from Shade 4-5.
Did you see the Malakai Black promo that he cut at that indie show?
No.
So Malakai Black cut an in-ring promo basically in which he told people he needs a break. Things haven't gone the way that he's hoped and that they would, and he's been dealing with a lot of personal stuff, and he's been on the road for 20 years, and basically, he could just use some time for the fans to give him a break while he gets his life together. So it sounded like he's stepping aside. Him and AEW have not been on good terms, it sounds. And so that has led to some people speculating that he could in some way be related to the White Rabbit. But it seems now it's pretty clear. I think the White Rabbit has been decided at this point.
Listen, if the White Rabbit turns out to be Bray Wyatt plus Aleister Black in some sort of like evil angle or evil tag or something, that would be mage.
If it was both.
Yes.
But do you agree with me that if it was just Aleister Black, that would be disappointing for how big this has been?
Oh, absolutely.
So yeah, it has to be Bray. It could also include Aleister. It can't go the other way.
Correct. Well, correct.
There's two ways to think about it, though. It could be. I would also be disappointed if it's not Bray plus Shore. But if it is just Aleister, that also has to be a signal to everybody else who may be thinking about signing with WWE that like, if you come back home, they're going to treat you like a big deal. Well, because first with Cody and now with that rollout,
that would be very, very interesting. Well, you know what? We'll save it when we get to Raw here. But yes, there was another teaser for the ongoing White Rabbit situation. One came yesterday. And it says the hint this time is that all roads will be leading to Extreme Rules. The QR code was briefly flashed, which when scanned took users to a WWE.com page with a TikTok video. And the TikTok video is like a compilation of different wrestlers talking, and it ends up with them saying, "Who killed the world? You did." And Feed the Head with ECW archive footage which people are taking as a suggestion that Extreme Rules in Philadelphia is where this storyline will finally come to fruition. There's also different coordinates included in the TikTok video. One leads to a location in Italy with a giant pink bunny, while the number 40701 that appears in the video ends up being a zip code in Kentucky.
I heard that one of the coordinates leads you to the best bagel.
That would be Mage. Let me just say something. It's something.
Of course. Beyond.
This whole thing has been something plus. This has been a commitment to something. I'm excited. Assuming it's just Bray, I'm just excited for that guy to be back in the fold. And then there's so many conversations about, does it involve the Fiend? Is it just Bray Wyatt? Is there a Wyatt family? Alexa Bliss? Blah, 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 blah. There's so many different questions to be asked. And the main one I have is, how did we end up with Bray not being there in the first place? Like, how did this ever happen? I mean, it's fine, and it could end up being a good freshening up, and he comes back, and it's better than ever. But do you guys, I know that I have found that over time, people have found a way to downplay Bray Wyatt, particularly people have run him down on his in-ring ability, which I think is overstated. How has this guy not been with the major wrestling promotion for the last year? He's one of the most charismatic, interesting characters of the last decade to me.
I think he's just been smart about protecting that, right? Like, because if he goes somewhere else, there's no guarantee that they're even going to have the production value and the infrastructure in place to see his creative vision through to the best of what he's visioned. You know what I mean? Like, they won't
be able to do that. But that's giving him a lot. That's making it sound like, well, the whole thing was Bray's decision.
He clearly was released,
but him not going somewhere else clearly was his decision.
He clearly wasn't getting along with the brass at WWE. His contract expired. He didn't want to renew it. He was making a ton of money. He probably banked a fortune, and he, was waiting for something to happen, which happened. And now he can work directly with Triple H, who he's close with.
I thought they released him.
No, was it release or contract up?
Really, whatever, doesn't matter. He left. He's Bray Wyatt. He's one of the biggest draws in the company, and he left. So whether he was released or whether he quit, it's neither here nor there. They let him walk out the door, whether his contract was up or whether he was fired.
Letting him walk out and sending him out is two different things. And then him not showing up somewhere else is huge. Like,
is it though? I mean, the result is the same. He, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know if I see a huge distinction between release and not getting a new contract, except one would be his choice. It just means the offer wasn't good enough. And no one was surprised at that time when they were cutting contracts. You're probably right, Dip. He had a monster contract. They probably wanted to lower the number, and he's like, I'm good. I'll take a walk. Thanks. And it's working out for him. I just wonder whether if at any point Tony Khan tried to back up the truck to get Bray Wyatt. And how big would that
be? I don't think so.
You think they'd view it as he's too WWE?
I do. That's exactly what I was just about to say. I think they see him as just like, if he's not there, he's nowhere. You know what I mean?
Where's that line in AEW to WWE? They literally bought back the Undisputed Era and reformed them right after WWE did a months long breakup angle with all of them.
I just feel like, you know, like in my mind, Adam Cole is like an NXT guy for life, you know, and Bray Wyatt is just so main roster. That's the just psychologically, it just feels that way.
I think the Undisputed Era essentially to me feels sort of like a underground independent, you know, real wrestling faction. They could be on NXT. They could be on AEW. I think the line, SGG, would be drawn at someone like Bray, whose entire career has been built at WWE, but on top of that, the character's big and cartoonish, and in a good way, I mean it for Bray. And it just like is one of those things that feels WWE. It happened to feel better, I think, than most any other character they've developed over the last decade. But I could see, you know, and similarly, I think I knew Braun wouldn't go to AEW. Braun felt WWE.
I was just going to transition over to Braun, and I'm going to make a declarative statement right now. I'm feeling watching the last month or so. I would, you know, since Braun came back, I think WWE has like a big guy problem.
You think there's a big guy problem?
Yes. I think they don't know what to do with their big guys, with their big men. They don't know what to do with Omos right now, clearly. He's just, I don't know what's going on there. They don't know, they've brought back Braun Strowman. It's been totally uneventful. I'm happy that he's back, but they need to put him in a storyline real quick or some feud that's makes some sort of sense, or else it's going to just fall. Like, what is he other than a monster? So we don't know what he is. And then, you know, who am I missing? You know, I guess you can. Karrion Kross. I wouldn't put him in that same category, but I guess he is a big guy. But I'm talking about like big. Monsters. Monsters. Yeah. They have a monster issue. There's a monster problem.
You know what? Dip, I think it's a really good take. I sort of feel the same way. I'm concerned about Braun and where that's going to go. It seemed like his immediate return, he wasn't put in a spot big enough for a guy of his physical stature and sort of stature in the company. And the Omos thing is obvious. Omos looks amazing. Omos looks incredible. Looks the best he's ever looked. Looks completely, to me, he's better in ring than he's ever been. He looks awesome. And yeah, they're still trying to figure out. They're doing the same thing. Like, how many times are we going to see him beat up two jabronis on TV?
It's too much. I don't know what they're thinking. I mean, I'm sure they're trying to figure it out, don't you think? I'm sure there's an effort being made.
Yeah, I would certainly say so. And it was good to see MVP back on television yesterday at commentary. Like, you know, but man, I'm telling you, those characters are tough. Like, what do you do with a giant? Like, it's not 1976 and Andre the Giant, dude. Where like the person's not on TV that often. They show up in your territory and you go, oh my God, you got to see this person in person. You're not going to believe how big they are. That's not the era we live in. Everyone's overexposed. You see them. Even a giant like Omos, you see him on social media, you know, posting his meals. Like, it's just, right. It's hard to sell it the same.
Here's what I'll say. Maybe that's what they're trying to do. But go ahead, Dip.
Here's what I'm going to say. I think the problem with Omos, and again, please correct me if I'm missing something. The problem with Omos is that he doesn't have a signature finishing move that feels just completely demolishing right now. He wins because he's strong and he hits someone hard, or someone falls to the mat from a high spot because he carries them there. But he doesn't have, and Andre didn't have this either, but he doesn't have like that big giant power bomb or that crazy move that just destroys everyone. If he had that, I think it would enhance him completely and put him in the title picture. A big man needs a big move, and I don't think he has that. I would say the same for Braun Strowman. He wins because I don't even know what Braun Strowman's finishing move is.
I mean, it's so much to your point that they made his move basically him running circles around the outside of the ring.
I don't mind that spot. I think it's a cool spot. But
that's not all there is.
I don't know what his finishing move is. And I think that if you're a guy like that who's an attraction, you need to have a Vader bomb, or you need to have a bonsai drop, something that's just like, that's it, you know, he's dead.
Yeah.
And so, neither of them have that. I think that's a huge part of it.
I agree with a little bit of what you said, but the part where you lost me was them having to immediately jump into the title picture. I think going back to what P said,
they should immediately. I think it could lead them to that. I said,
yeah. But I think though, like, keeping them out of the title picture goes back to what P said, and it gives you that attraction. I do think they need like a dominating move. I do think that Braun running circles around the ring gives you that cool visual, but it's not a dominating move like a power bomb or a jackknife or a Vader bomb or anything like that. But maybe that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to take us back to the days where like you don't see certain people every week, and then, you know, when Braun's not there, Omos can be there, so they always have some type of attraction. Versus, you know, somebody that's immediately going to be title tracked, because I don't think everybody needs to be on a title track to feel special or be special or anything like that.
Guys, all you need to do is put Omos into a cool story and think of some interesting creative situation for him to be in, and all of a sudden he's relevant as a person in the title picture. You know,
yeah, but I don't think he needs to be there.
Well, but he could not be
awesome if he was giant. You know,
and then if he doesn't win,
the problem is. The problem with the Giants in the title picture is, why do they ever lose?
Right. And that's like, exactly what cost Bray when he was the Fiend and like fans wanted him in the title picture and then he got it. And then it took a lot of the shine off of that Fiend character because, like you said, why do they lose? How do they lose? Seth Cubs stomped him like seven times and he still won.
I know. And then what happens? He loses to Goldberg on the ramp in Saudi Arabia. But
they didn't know what to do. They didn't know what to do with Commander Aziz either. I mean, he's essentially gone.
Yeah, he was a big man too.
Yeah.
You know, it's just kind of an odd, it's like an odd thing. You know, they knew what to do with Diesel.
They knew what to do with
the Undertaker.
This is one of the great observations you've ever had. The monster problem.
There's a monster problem.
Yeah. I really agree with you on the point about Omos not having the definitive move. And it's tough, you know, because these guys, it's not going to be off the top rope, you know, like there's a limited. Omos is doing a great job and he's an athletic kid, but you still have limited options. Okay. It's not finding something for Finn Balor or Dominic Mysterio. It's a different sort of thing. So you got to find something.
Let me just say, when they were figuring out what to do with the Big Show, and Big Show was sort of in a slump 7 years ago or so, they gave him the punch, the knockout punch. And it, by the way, it felt like something.
It kind of worked. Yeah.
It did.
So, you know, like you have...
It was better than the great Kali chop, that's for sure.
Yeah. In AEW, the one giant in AEW, well, they have a couple now, but one's in a stable, I forget his name, but and then you have Luchasaurus. They knew, you know, they gave Luchasaurus has a gimmick. You know what Luchasaurus is up to. He's Christian's, you know, right-hand man against Jungle Boy. So it's like, you know, you put Omos is awesome. There's no one that looks as cool as Omos in wrestling right now. So you got to figure out some sort of interesting thing with him that elevates him.
So. What did you guys think about the appearance of Candice LeRae last night?
The crowd went mild. I think
the crowd went mild. Yeah. Perfect use of that phrase.
I think they tried to go back to that well, the same exact well they dipped into with Johnny. You know, it's Canada, just a surprise debut. They did everything they could, but I think that was one that could have benefited from some vignettes.
Yep.
Some real reintroduction versus like a surprise.
To do it in a non-NXT crowd, at a Raw crowd, it was a little tough. And I was watching Raw last night with the great Brian Mann. And
he's a great guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy. He pointed out, he's like, poor Nikki A.S.H. doesn't even get her entrance shown. And the crowd definitely would have popped more for Nikki A.S.H. than Candice LeRae.
Or maybe they
see her on TV.
We didn't see it. Maybe they did.
Right,
pop.
But we didn't see it. It wasn't shown. It's cool that she's there. But this is one of those moments. These are going to happen where because they're bringing back cool people everyone wanted to see, it's awesome. But it's not always going to hit immediately because these people were not superstars. As much as the internet will make you believe they were superstars and everyone knows them, they often were not all the way there yet.
And that's the part where Triple H has to really like demonstrate that he understands that balance, right? Between paying attention to the internet and seeing what's hot on the internet and then paying attention to all the other analytics that they get that says that last night debuting Candice LeRae in a surprise way like that was not the move.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED highlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Just because you wrestle alligators for a living doesn't mean you should have the skin of one. Say goodbye to dry and cracked skin with Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash with vitamin B3. Made for 24/7 renewing moisturization with daily use. With scents of vanilla and shea, people will think you've taken up candle making as one of your hobbies. And there is nothing wrong with that. Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash. Shop Old Spice now.
That Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world. They just disagree on how.
We're going to get across that wasteland, and we're going to do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Let's shift over to SmackDown for a moment, if it's all right. I was reading some comments, and I'm trying to get him on the podcast because I thought he was really good in what he was saying. I was reading some comments from Freddie Prinze Jr. about his take on the Liv Morgan character and how he sees Liv. He thinks the move is for Liv to turn heel right now. Do you guys get the sense, Dip, I'll start with you. Do you get the sense that that could be happening?
I think that unless she evolves slightly as a character and as a face, if she keeps coming out and doing the same thing, that eventually she will be heel automatically because the crowd will turn on her, is what I'm seeing. I said this a few weeks ago. I feel like it's going to be a natural evolution and then sped up because people are starting to boo. Yes. But I mean, Ronda's not really around right now. Shayna Baszler to me is not a definitive heel or face. I don't know. She's not undefinable when it comes to her wrestling character. And I just think she's sort of sitting out there with the title right now waiting for something interesting to happen. That's what it sort of feels like to me. I want to just quickly, real quick, go back to Raw and just say that I don't like the spot that Johnny Gargano is in. And I know that he'll eventually evolve out of this spot, but like being the corny tag partner of Kevin Owens is not where I see Johnny Gargano. Like, come on, pull the trigger on Johnny Gargano if you're going to pull the trigger on him.
That was one night only, I think.
I don't know. It's they're hugging after the match. You know, they're embracing each other.
I got to tell you, I haven't been. It's a fine line. Like we were just.
He's so good.
I know, but we were just talking about it. It's a balancing act because he's not known by everyone yet. So you have to figure out how to utilize him. But I will say that when I see him in a tag with KO after just coming back a couple weeks ago, I'm like, oh, man, this doesn't feel like something.
White meat babyface is where he needs to be with the old music and the tights and the thing. He needs white meat babyface pops and like some storyline that makes sense. Well, it should be him and Ciampa right away. I don't
think him and Ciampa right away is the answer. And I think they tried to like give him that white meat baby face pop by putting him next to Kevin Owens, who they were expecting to get that. But then just again, that crowd last night wasn't, I don't know. They didn't really get going. It was a good match. And KO, anyway, I expected him to get a Bret Hart pop in Canada, but,
SGG, just you want to like comment on Liv?
I think she is going to be better off heel. I don't know if they're pushing her in that direction, but to your point, Dip, I think the crowd may force them in that direction, and you definitely want to turn before the crowd turns because you don't want the crowd to dictate that.
She could turn easily. No problem.
She could.
I'm going to tell you what Freddie Prinze Jr. said. He said, I thought she was very good. She kept it simple. She didn't try to oversell. She put out her lie, which was essentially, I'm the only person that's beaten you twice, to Ronda Rousey, which she has, but also, has she? so he's saying that's already sort of a heelish stance, right? Standing on these victories that aren't legitimate victories necessarily is a heelish stance, which I thought was interesting. And then he also pointed out that they put her up in the suite alone, looking down at Ronda during her match, which was a heelish sort of thing to do. with Liv. I thought that was an interesting point as well.
I noticed that too, instead of like in the front row or something like that, or even on commentary.
Yeah. And then he takes some tough criticism for Ronda Rousey's segment the other day. You'll notice I didn't mention what she said. They gave her as little dialogue as you possibly can. I think she had three lines, but even the three lines were just rough, man. It's rough.
She's like barely there.
He said she had an easy one. Like, you don't want to challenge me to an Extreme Rules match. It should have been like that. She should have almost been laughing on the line, and instead she waits to breathe till the line is over. It's just little acting things. Hey, don't forget to breathe. All interesting stuff from Freddie Prinze Jr. On Ronda, because we've been saying, obviously, for a long time, there's just something that's not fully connecting about her character and delivery of lines. And I'm not an acting expert. I'm not an actor. I can't tell you where that is. But
we're TV watchers. You know,
I think it's pretty. I think it's pretty obvious.
75 years of TV watching.
I think it's pretty obvious that her dialogue does not connect, nor does it sound genuine.
So this is what makes, the Liv thing awkward to me. It's feeling like Liv would be better off turning heel. She's setting up for an Extreme Rules match, right? Do we know what the stipulation is yet for their match?
It's an Extreme Rules match. It is.
It is Extreme Rules. Okay. Yeah. So it's an Extreme Rules match at Extreme Rules in a couple of weeks.
On Peacock.
Thank you very much. Premium live event. Kickoff show 1 hour before the premium live event kicks off.
Also on Peacock, where you'll see forever 24/7 champion Peter Rosenberg.
Thank
getting you ready for the next events.
And also, if you want to watch it on YouTube as well, the kickoff show is on YouTube. It's available for you there, or Twitch. But it's interesting that Extreme Rules is a perfect match to allow someone to turn heel, right? Because she can break rules and beat Ronda for a third time. It's so interesting, though, that you have this super white meat baby face in Liv Morgan who seems ready to turn, but the person you'd be turning her against is the most unlovable baby face in Ronda Rousey. Like, she, even if you turn Liv completely heel on Ronda, I frankly think in the end that'll just make people root for Liv more. Like, yeah. I don't think anyone wants to cheer for Ronda.
I think they're in a weird spot there, man. I think they're in a weird spot. I'm sure they're talking about that too, on how to untangle that situation.
There's untangling that needs to be done.
A lot of untangling. Great word for the situation they're in, Dip.
And who else is there on SmackDown at this moment that you could legitimately kind of get in there to make it make sense? I think there, you have an obvious route. You have Ronda just beat Liv in the Extreme Rules match. By the way, it would still look like a pretty good championship run for Liv Morgan. And losing in their third match to Ronda Rousey is not going to bury her. And then finally give us Shayna versus Ronda, which at least would be interesting from a storyline standpoint. You could walk right into it. It's not hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed. It's not hard at all. And then with Liv,
it's time for the title to come off of her.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
I've said this before. Sometimes these things can hurt you, not help you, if not done the right way. You know, like getting the titles for a minute is awesome. I did not expect they were going to turn this into a several month, maybe, you know, what is it, 3.5 months now?
It's a big reign. It's a maybe long reign.
It's a long title reign. Like, I really didn't expect it. I thought it was going to be a quick little title reign for Liv Morgan to give her a shot, a boost. Then she'd keep working, and get the more meaningful reign later. They jumped right into it, though. So you're right, Dip. Good word. Well, untangling.
Go ahead. I was just going to say I wanted to jump over to another observation that I'm maybe it's obvious to most people, but to me, it's like, oh, this is interesting what they're trying to do here. Anyway, you want me to do that?
Go ahead.
This is an obvious observation. The obvi obzi. Go ahead.
An obvi observation.
What do you got?
They're slowly building towards a War Games match with the Judgment Day, and they're like subtly throwing like that, like each person has their rival, but they're all separate.
Yeah.
So it's like AJ. There, it's going to be. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but probably at Survivor Series, AJ Styles, Edge, Ray,
Riddle.
And Riddle versus Judgment Day.
But
and they all have their own feud, kind of.
Well, you know, I had that realization last night because
last night is when they made it is when it became the obvi.
Yeah, because when they announced
the observation.
Yeah,
when they announced War Games, it was I was like everybody else. I was thinking Bloodline for sure.
Well, there's going to be two matches apparently.
Bloodline. Well, one men's, one women's. So it was like Bloodline has their fourth member. They're definitely going to do Bloodline, but then like you said, everyone is slowly has their own rival in Judgment Day that they're building with.
But what are they going to do with Rhea?
I don't know. Maybe Rhea just on the outside beating somebody's ass. Rhea's definitely going to get involved, though. She's not
maybe
gonna.
It's Bloodline. Maybe it is Bloodline. In
no, I think it is match. Judgment Day, though. I'm convinced. Don't abandon ship, Dip. We're right. Okay. Yeah, we're right.
Okay. How about
they're
this,
doing,
though?
By the way, they're doing a lot of judging.
They are.
I mean, they can't stop. Their whole existence is based around the color purple and judging.
Yeah, they're the movie The Color Purple. They just love the movie The Color Purple.
they're purple and judgy.
Can I listen? I know this isn't going to happen, but can I throw out a little fantasy thing here?
Oh, please do.
Okay, we're only going to have one men's War Games match and one women's War Games match. Could we still have the Bloodline in a traditional Survivor Series match?
I think we might get that.
How could I? Could I still get a traditional? We don't have to switch Survivor Series completely to a War Games event. Like, let's have a traditional.
That would be a great judgment.
By the way, I mean, cool. Dude, the Bloodline right now is the Survivor Series team of the century.
Confirm.
Again, 3 weeks straight. Let's just continue to say Sami Zayn continues to be the MVP of professional wrestling.
Yes.
This is to me now very clearly and decidedly. Listen, I didn't follow him as El Generico. I don't know his indie story. This is the best work of his career. The shirt gimmick the other day when he was giving the honorary Oosh shirt by Roman Reigns, the whole bit of him going, take off that shirt.
Shout out to Jey Uso during that whole thing too. Like,
no, Jey Uso staring bullets in him. Like, yeah, finally, and
the
rips
most
the shirt
terrifying
off
take it off chant I've ever heard in my life. By the way, it was horrific.
When you see Jimmy and Jey, if you see them at Extreme Rules in Philly, I'd like you to see how they feel about the Jusos.
I'll ask.
And the honorary juice, yeah.
Yeah, the Juso.
I'd like him to call you a Juso.
But by the way, we could make cheap Pete shirts, two shirts. Me and Dip wear shirts that say the Jusos, and SGG has the honorary Juice.
No, the chosen ones. We the chosen ones.
And the back, the chosen ones.
Oh my God. I think this has to happen.
This might have to be with the shirt.
Oh, yeah. That's it. That's not even a
this
question.
Is, right?
And then with a bit, there'll be a bagel on the shirt.
A bagel on the back. With a
bagel and a schmear on the shirt.
So that whole scene.
A bagel around the finger, the one. What are your tees, dude?
That's not bad, dude. Oh, that's really not bad. So that whole scene was fantastic. Jey Uso killed it. Sammy was awesome. Sammy is in an interesting spot too because he's a baby face at the moment. He's basically a baby face to the crowd in the middle of a heel faction. Because you can't help but root for him. Like when he got the shirt, I mean, dude, it was over.
The pop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huge pop. Now, last night he appeared on Raw and they had a segment, you know, with him beating people down backstage. Was that last night?
That was Friday, but then before AJ Styles.
And last night he had the AJ.
Immediately after he gets the shirt, by the way, he goes full and, like untouchable.
Yeah, he starts beating people down backstage. I imagine that was to try to get some heat back on him as opposed to letting him be a babyface. But then yesterday it was interesting. They played his like heelish music, you know, where they start out with his old song and then it switches.
Yeah.
And it didn't work. Like to me, last night for Sami Zayn and Solo Sikoa coming out, I'd play Roman Reigns music. I would have played the Bloodline music and had the two of them come out.
You're right.
It didn't hit right. It didn't.
Yeah, that didn't work.
Right? It felt flat. You're like, no, Sammy should be over right now. Whether it's booing or cheering, it shouldn't have been crowd goes mild. And that's what it was when Sammy came out too. Yeah. So I would love giving him the Roman treatment. But man, Roman, this has gotten, Isn't it amazing what being creative and committing to a character can do? The commitment to the Sami Zayn honorary Oos thing has not only been amazing for Sami Zayn, it's been amazing for the bloodline.
Yeah, all of them.
It's added a dynamic for, it's created a new relationship for Jey Uso to have, the Jimmy and Sammy being friends, the Roman having love for Sammy. Everyone's got a different relationship.
Even Solo.
Solo and him now have
Solo
a relationship.
Solo chose Sammy over his brother, I think it was 2 weeks ago on SmackDown, when like Jey was ready to accompany him to the ring. He was like, no, you were off your game, Sammy.
And then Solo shows up and helps Sammy get the win last night. There are all these relationships baked in there. By the way, so much for the North American Championship spending any time on the main roster. The second we said, Dip, were you gone last week when we said that? SGG and I were saying, like,
he was gone.
It'll be so cool if the North American Championship is like all over Raw and SmackDown. Immediately given back to
him. The same night.
We got that really wrong.
What they've done with the bloodline.
Me and Shawn Michaels got beef again over that too, by the way.
You should.
I just forgave him for the whole Montreal thing, and now we're back at it.
What they've done with the bloodline has been good judgment.
More good judgment.
Yeah, there's judgment. There's a lot of judgment going on.
Hold on. There's something important I have to play here, and it's important that I play it, and it's important that you guys listen. Here it is. I don't want to waste time because we have to get through mailbag. There's so much to do. Black Power Rankings, the Shad Gaspard Black Power Rankings. I know where SGG is going to go, I believe. Actually, I think it's the same place Dip will probably go, but SGG, please.
I'm going to shock the world right now. I'm going to give it to possibly an unknown, but I know him. And he appeared last night on Monday Night Raw. He was one of the jobbers who went down to Omos. And I think for such a young kid, getting a look like that on Monday Night Raw in prime time for the world to see is a vote of confidence from a lot of people. So I'm giving it to Mo Jabari, a.k.a. Kid Chocolate. He probably, I've called myself the Black Heart, but he probably is the real Black Heart. He's one of Brett's proteges. He usually appears in the pink and black, although it was a little subdued last night. But he was on Raw. He was a jobber. He lost to Omos. But it's great to see somebody's career like going off on that trajectory with it. It looks like it's on the up and up. So shout out to him for that.
That was very nice. I assumed you were going to go somewhere. I assume it's where Dip will go. Dip?
Yes. The hottest tag team in wrestling, the Acclaimed.
There you go. It's gotta be the Acclaimed.
Hottest tag team in wrestling, if not the hottest thing in wrestling.
It's
you're taking it a little bit far.
They're behind the honorary Oos, but it's Mage.
Yeah. And behind that guy Max Friedman, who's pretty good too.
I'll say this. No phrase is more over than Scissor Me Daddy.
No, it is. They are one of the hottest things in wrestling right now, and rightly so. And good judgment, again, by Tony Khan, finally having them beat Keith and Swerve for the titles.
Yeah, so he tipped his hand. We knew he was going to do it, but at least he did it.
It was the right thing to do. I mean, frankly, I don't even think I really want to see Swerve in a tag team. I don't know. I'm fine with it. But the Swerve and Keith thing to me felt like cookie cutter putting them together. I don't know. It wasn't exactly. Swerve has just so much he brings to the table, and their tag team was cool, but the title run didn't feel as special as I think it could have felt.
Acclaimed are going to have that belt, these belts for a while.
They're over like absolute rover right now, and it's amazing because we had that conversation about how Mage the rap stuff was. Like, even in it being bad, it's good. Like, it's all done well, and it hits. And, man, it was very, very cool. I was going to give it to the Acclaimed as well. Congratulations on the tag team championship. By the way, also congratulations, unrelated to Black Power Rankings, Action Bronson making his in-ring debut in AEW, having, like, a legitimate match. I don't know that I expected Bronson was going to be legit already in a tag team match, but he was.
Good for him. I love it. I mean, he moved around really well. And
he was fast off the ropes. Do you guys see that?
really fast off the ropes. Can we give a shout out to Great Muta?
Oh my God, I thought about you.
He looked really good. Right?
Yeah, I thought so. I thought he looked pretty good. For what is he, 60?
He's got to be. Let's look it up. I got to actually look that up. I meant to look it up yesterday.
Because remember, all of these guys were running around in like 91.
He's 59.
59. Yep.
Yeah. Muta, Flair, Sting.
But I don't know. It gets me emotional to see Sting and Great Muta together in a ring.
Yeah, you must have been weeping. That's right. That's after your heart.
Mail.
Let's see. Where do we start? Anthony writes us and says, how does it end for Sammy? Sweet Pete, Greg the Verge, and Dip. This Sami Zayn honorary Uso angle is one of the funniest things the WWE has done in years. Sammy's absolutely killing it in the best run of his WWE career. I agree. And maybe it's me being an impatient wrestling fan, but how does this end? Does Sammy challenge Roman? He's probably not going to be the one to end Reigns' reign. Does he team up with KO and eventually go after the Usos titles? Doesn't that seem a little anticlimactic? As much as I absolutely love this angle, I can't help but wonder how WWE pays it off. How would y'all book it? I think we all agree it's going to be the tag thing.
Yeah, I think so too. But I saw something interesting online that I was like, because, you know, Sammy did say a couple of weeks ago that he gets in with people and he worms his way in and destroys them from the inside. And I saw, I wish I could remember who tweeted it, but somebody suggested that Sami Zayn be the one to get The Rock back on WWE TV because things are just going crazy. Things are just going so crazy in the bloodline that he's the one that calls in The Rock. And it leads to him being ousted, and also The Rock is back to try and necessarily take over the family, but set them back on the straight path.
Well, I like the
idea of Sammy is the one that lures The Rock back to WWE, and then like The Rock
and Roman feud over.
Yeah, I mean, you think that it's going to be like The Rock, like as being part of the bloodline, and then he turns on them, and he's the face. And
but here's the question. Are they going to instead bring The Rock back under the guise tying it into the elders who sent Solo Sikoa?
I don't know. If they do that, that would be Mage 2. We've talked about that.
So they have a lot of angles. And by the way, based on last night and last week, forging of the clear bond between Sammy and Solo, it could end up being a breakup for them at some point. And it's Sammy and Solo in like an IC title level kind of feud. That could be reasonable and good for both of them.
That's good judgment. Good judgment from the Juso.
Mail.
Jason says, hi, Peter and Dip and Gregory. Is Ricochet's real name Rick O'Shea? If it is, that's some G-damn genius mode-ish. Two, I want a wrestler's gimmick to be he does his opponent's gimmick better. His entrance is your entrance. He wears your gear. He does your finisher to beat you.
What?
He wrote more genius mode-ish. And lastly, cheap heat is dope. Stay major, enjoy yourself, cream cheese on a toasted bagel, but put a layer of butter down first. Softens the bagel and adds a little flavor. Wow.
I've never done cream cheese over butter.
I never did that before. I would try it too.
I would consider that.
I know, but that is very, that is some fat boy-ish.
Male.
Andrew says, real quick, when Sammy sets up the hell of a kick in the opposite corner, why doesn't he do the Roman hoo-ah thing? That would be unreal.
Smart.
Great point.
Yeah.
That's genius mode-ish.
That is.
Maynard writes us and says,
mail.
Hey, Pete, honorary Jew Greg and Dip the Drip. Wow, the honorary juice, they knew.
That's right.
First of all, as I've said in my previous email, the Bloodline is the best faction ever, as the interpersonal dynamics are just so unique to each pairing, which we have never seen in any group before. I'm hoping that the story continues with Sammy getting a Samoan tattoo to prove his fidelity to the Bloodline, or Sammy falling in love with an Anoa'i family member. Also, maybe Samoa Joe can come back as the lone Samoan who's not of the Bloodline. Secondly, as an adult, I'm so tired of people telling me that wrestling is fake when I say I watch pro wrestling. Now, instead of saying that I know, or the now common so is Game of Thrones retort, I've decided to embrace my inner dip and kayfabe the entire interaction and just tell them, no, it's real, and really commit to it. With this email, I hope to inspire other fans to do the same and blow these idiots' minds by insisting that wrestling is real. I think I'm going to enjoy myself. Maynard. Great.
Yeah. Love
beautiful,
it.
Luxurious message.
Instead of the Samoa tat, though, I could see Sammy dyeing his hair. Maybe like doing like a red somewhere in his hair.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he'd have to, but his hair's already red.
No, but like go the full.
Oh, they're
like,
red.
Yeah.
What if he dyes his hair first, then adds the red?
Yeah, he could do that. He could do like a blonde like Solo and then dye like some of it red.
All right, last email here. Dip, we want to hear this one.
Mail.
Imtiaz writes us, hello, gents. I hope you're well. Do you think H-Cubed believes in Austin Theory? Or could he lose the case to someone else? It could put a rocket on Johnny Gargano or someone similar. Also, I'm loving the Sami Zayn at the moment, but I'm waiting for when he gets turned and hopefully reverts to NXT underdog vibes, and that awesome moveset would be great in a match with Roman. Keep going and going. EME in the UK.
I'll tell you right now, I immediately like Austin Theory better without the stupid goatee and the regular, like a regular facial hair. He looks like a normal person now.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's that goes without saying. So he even goes up another notch in my book. But I think they need to like really pull the trigger on the Johnny Gargano and Austin Theory feud. It just like it's sort of lingering out there and it's not quite there. I don't want to see Austin Theory lose. I want to see him cash in and win the title. I love Austin Theory. What are your thoughts?
I'm a big Austin Theory fan, so I hope Triple H is into him. I hope he's not like, you know,
they're
it wasn't
him.
Just
you could tell they're into him.
Well, but people could argue that they don't seem as into him as they did when Vince was there. Isn't that how people feel? That. I think that's what people feel.
Yeah, I could buy that.
He's not as prominently featured as he was 2 months ago, right?
No, they just they don't know what to do with him right now, it feels like.
Yeah, I think it's more that as well. And there's a lot going on in general. Also, can I just say one thing? Love this era. I'm in love with everything. I'm so happy. Yada, yada, yada. All that good stuff. Can we stop with like, and this is honestly on AEW TV too, but I'm referring to WWE here. Can we stop opening shows with like 3-segment matches?
Like, oh, you're done with it?
I don't 28 I don't care
minutes,
enough.
And a half hour of matches. I know.
I didn't need the Bianca Bailey and friends match last night to go 30 minutes. It just was like I want to get into stuff from the show. I mean, last week they did the Lashley match went on what was Lashley and Seth?
Yes.
40 some minutes. Cool. But it's at the start of the show, and you still get no finish. It's like I would rather shorten it and give me a little something else. I'm a big starting the show off with talking, not wrestling.
Give me a promo to start the show. That's going to pay off later in the night. All right, listen, you guys are mage.
No, you guys are mage. Fantastic work, everyone. RosenbergBeats@gmail.com. Keep the emails coming. Maybe SGG and I will run into you in Philadelphia if you're going to Extreme Rules.
Hopefully, or maybe not even maybe, hopefully.
Or maybe you'll bump into me walking around in Stamford when I'm there for the next Saudi kickoff show in November. Everyone, do me a favor. Please take it easy and enjoy yourself.
Stay mage,
too.
And like sat in front of the mirror a little bit and got myself together.
Also, ladies and gentlemen, at this time, I would like to introduce...
Shout out to that guy, Greg.
Bret Hart is the greatest professional wrestler in the history of the art form.
Mage.